Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Today, we're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive. Get with John Hernandez. Check him out at ibisimages.com. Today, I think we're going to touch on sales. What is the good, the bad, and the ugly? Whoa. Pro tip. Less talking, more listening, and get the product in their mouth. We're talking food sales here. On today's menu, first, comfort food. I'm talking sweet. I'm talking savory. That means we're talking Happy Eats with Jeffrey James and the Wild Wild Chefs. All right. Hey, cowboy. What are we talking about today? What did we cook up?
We did
new six shooter SOB. What do we do today?
We did some great stuff today. I love playing with food that normal people wouldn't think of. That's so delicious. Those quote unquote awful cuts. You've got the oxtail, and then you got the chuck short rib. Which short rib in itself is not one of those. It's not a throwaway or anything like that. But it's just wonderful to play with. And we did it with Caribbean style, with the oxtail, but we served it two different ways. And the short rib, we did a riff on stuffed cabbage.
Yeah, it was delicious. Thank you. Was a good stuffed cabbage, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this. John, if you could cut the music. Get that out of here. Cut the music. All right. Let's jump into this Cuban sandwich first. Because it was good. It was super good.
Thanks.
Now this is like the Jeffrey Schlissel version of the Cuban sandwich.
Yeah.
All right. Get into it.
So, there's this whole fight between Tampa and Miami, who has the better one, between lettuce, tomato and salami, which we don't do salami because I'm from Miami. The bread here is a little bit different too. Can't find good Cuban bread. Los Segundos, sorry. It's good, but it's not what I'm used to. But I have to admit, just elevating, having that smoked pork butt with that black cherry bourbon from Jim Beam, and then the hickory smoke, I have to call this out. Red Gold sent me that Sacramento Bloody Mary mix, and I marinated it with the brine, and that's how I brined it, and then we smoked it. And then you have that smokehouse ham layered in between. We talked about it last podcast about Gruyere, the difference between Gruyere and Swiss cheese. I wanted to elevate it, so we went Gruyere. And then there's those, damn, those wickle pickles. I mean...
There was some heat in that.
Yeah, there's some nice heat to it too. And it's just, it's got that crunch, the sourness, the acidity, and that heat that brings to it. And then to cool it all off, you've got a guava aioli and then the yellow mustard. You got to make, you know, I have to pay respects to the Cuban cuisine. So I had to make the yellow mustard.
Yeah, mayonnaise. I mean, it was not a traditional Cuban sandwich, but it was super delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I dug it. My, my wife, you know, she would probably like, yeah, this is good, but you know, this isn't Cuban.
No, she would probably, her mother would probably take the chingleta out of me. And like,
chingleta, yeah. She would want to, yeah. I would just simply get the wooden spoon because that's where I come from.
Yeah, that's what I got too.
And by the way.
Or the pow pow, a little pinch behind the arm.
I pinch, yeah. I do all that stuff. My my children, I'm happy to say, are, they react better on the spoon than the chingleta.
Really?
Yep.
Shock collars work too, but I'm not sure.
I'm not a proponent of it. So all I have to do is pick the spoon up and kind of like roll it a little bit, you know, in my fingers as I look at them, and it works wonderfully. I love it. When I grew up, it was actually used. Like they used that stuff. Break your ass with that.
Yeah.
All right. So, I just want to say that was pretty cool intro there. We did it. It's impromptu.
Totally impromptu.
Jeffrey James over here.
Well, so. And that's the thing. Like, you look at some of the awful cuts that we were talking about before, you know, when you're on the trails back then and they didn't have refrigeration or anything like that, they smoked not only cigarettes and other things, but they smoked the food because that's the way it preserved. You know, but the way we do it today might be a little bit different because we're adding so many different ingredients to things. But at the end of the result is still magical. I mean, you got to think of stuffed cabbage, for instance, is a Eastern European descent. Me being of Jewish descent, Ashkenazic, you know, Russian, German. My dad, you know, loved brown sugar, vinegar, and, you know, making the cabbage and all that. So I paid homage to that.
I just want to say shalom.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. But I wanted to pay homage to not only that, but the cuisine itself, because for me growing up, I never really associated Jewish cuisine as something that's going to be really good to eat. I always kind of gravitated to Asian or Italian. That's what we actually ate in my house.
I mean, you know,
who doesn't,
you know,
well, with a last name like yours.
Right. But I will tell you, and I think, I don't know if I mentioned this on air or off air. When I was living in New York as a kid, we would have knishes.
Yeah. We talked about
hot lunch.
Yeah.
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 And I love those things. And now when every now and again, when, you know, you happen to find one, the nostalgia of that smell and that flavor profile, especially with the mustard, yellow mustard, man. Yep. Yeah. It brings me just literally right back.
Well, and that's the magical thing about food. We don't have yet, time travel. But I can pick up a pasta visual, and if it hits me the right way, I think of Cataldo's off of Pembroke Road and the Turnpike. And I was 3 years old, so we're going back in 1973. And I still remember that chicken parm and that pasta visual.
There I was.
Step by step.
1973. Yeah. No,
That's what's magical about food.
But what did you do different on the stuffed cabbage? Yeah, because it was different. And it wasn't traditional.
No, not. And look at me. I'm not traditional. I mean, I'm a Jewish tattoo with a pig.
Can't stop looking at you. Come on. What are you talking about?
So besides smoking it, I rubbed it with gogurang, which is Korean powder for making the kimchi. And I let that sit there for about 4 days and kind of like penetrate the meat. And then I had it brined in the Bloody Mary mix first, tried it with this rub on it. And then we smoked it for about 7 hours. Then I pulled it and then added in black garlic puree with a little citrus. And that would really, instead of adding red wine vinegar or sugar, because I didn't want to have anything in sugar in there, or apple cider, which is traditionally some of the stuff that's used now, I used yuzu. And that's that Japanese lemon meets a tangerine meets a grapefruit. So it had brought this, it brought the acidity that I was looking for. And then the tomato sauce had no sugar in it. So it was just the natural rice mixed together with some cabbage. And that's like the caramelization of the meat, or I should say the cabbage, and the Maillard reaction with meat mixed together and brought everything together. And it just jived really well.
Yeah, that's some serious comfort food right there.
Yeah, and I think the other comfort food I wanted to pay homage about, my wife is Jamaican, Chinese, Polish, and I can't make that joke up. There's so much great humor in that.
So basically, your wife walks into a bar.
Right. Exactly. So I wanted to, you know, when I saw the oxtail, and we were talking about this early off air, you know, a couple of weeks ago, it was like $14 a pound. And I saw it for like $5.99 a pound. I was like, I'm buying this, because it, back in the day, it was just nothing. It was a throwaway.
Yeah. It was poor people food.
Exactly. And, you know, now it's
some chefs. By the way, that was something that we had growing up when my grandmother was, you know, with us. And, you know, she was so amazing in the kitchen, man. But her oxtail was freaking fire. So yeah. Good. Yeah.
And, you know, you can do oxtail in an Italian way, but I wanted to show, again, respect to the cuisine of Jamaica. You have the jerk, and in that itself, it's got so much flavor. But I didn't make the sauce this time. So my wife's family, they own a sauce company called Eaton, E-E-A-T-O-N. There's a little picture of a Chinese girl on the front of it. That's actually her cousin. And it's a very popular jerk spice that they use, marinade. It's a wet marinade, because I know they have jerk dry spices now. But it's called Boston. And it's not like, it's so wicked. And it's not like it's not like pocket havoc. It's just that jerk that they do. And if you look at it, it's got a red tinge to it. So you know it's really got some bite to it. But
wait a minute. Those pickles had more fire to it, heat, than the freaking jerk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, those pickles are like, they have what, bird's eye peppers in them.
I don't know what was in there.
They're delicious.
Propane with little, I don't know.
But it's not even a ghost pepper.
It was hot.
Yeah.
Super hot. And I wasn't expecting, because, and so first of all, you take a bite of the pickle, right? And you're like, wow, this is pretty tasty. It's got a little different appeal to it, right? And then all of a sudden, you're like, why am I sweating?
Why is
my nose running? I'm sweating. What the hell? It's a pickle.
All of a sudden, get the vid? What's going on here? Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I think the biggest challenge for me was how to balance that heat. And so what I did was, more than likely, most people in the Latins call it guandules. The Jamaicans call it pigeon peas. So pigeon peas and rice. So I just didn't make any rice. We actually infused the rice with Malibu coconut rum, coconut, shredded coconut without sweeten, then garlic.
And you fried it.
And then, well, that was the appetizer. So then once the rice was cooked, I added some more spices to the not like heat spices, but flavoring. Mm-hmm. Season completo, adobo, some thyme. I wanted to accentuate some of the quote unquote guts of what is in a jerk. So it's onion and some thyme and scallions. So I added that into it, egg, and then I put it in and seared that as a cake. And then I wanted to showcase that as an appetizer. And then I put that in half the coconut and then use that. What I didn't tell you is I was trying to figure out the best way to take and peel the meat out of a coconut. So I was doing some research. One, you can actually take it and throw it in some boiling water for about 5 to 10 minutes, pull it out, and it's supposed to be easy to crack out.
But you didn't want to do that.
No, it doesn't work.
Right.
So then it was one that I freeze it. So I froze it whole. I didn't take the water out.
How many coconuts did you waste?
None.
Okay.
So it was actually really good. Okay. I kind of jimmied the rest of it so it didn't look like poop. But the best thing of the whole thing, when I froze the coconut, the water inside was like a slicey.
Oh, cool.
And my daughter has no idea. So I'm going to make something when I get home, and I'm going to put that icy on top, and it has that, like, the residual coconut. It's just delicious. And I was thinking, how can I manipulate this into something? And I'll figure that out later. But I wanted to do something with an appetizer. So we pulled the meat up, put it on top of the cake, and did a great presentation. John took some phenomenal shots. I mean, it was a pain in the butt to take that shot.
Yes, listeners. thank you for following us, by the way. John Hernandez at IBISimages.com. Yeah, you got to check him out. So what we do here on this podcast is...
And when he says we have to clarify John and I.
I really resent that. I resemble and resent equally that.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. But, by the way, this doesn't happen without, All right. So without John and Jeff. All right. So, so what we do is we tell Jeff, come up with awesome stuff to cook on podcast day. And he comes up with the recipes. We mostly get all of our stuff from Peninsula and some of the other vendor partners that we work with, and then Jeff just does this magical stuff. He cooks these beautiful dishes, hands it over to John in the studio. John, photographs everything beautifully.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Wait. Huh. John, what time we start shooting today? 10?
I think we started shooting about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and then we got done at what time?
It is currently 4 o'clock.
So, yeah. I just want everybody to notice it's that long to take shots. And by the way, I'm going to say this all the time. Food doesn't move.
In all fairness, that's 4 dishes.
True, but still. I mean, 4 dishes, people think, I want people to realize that it's not just taking a camera, taking a shot, and that's the end of it. It's there's
and
a lot more to it.
Put a filter on it, for crying out loud. Yeah,
no filter.
No filter, right? All right.
Or what do you call it? Over-filtering?
Over-filtering. Who does that?
Over-filtering, oversaturation.
Yeah, oversaturation.
That sounds so stupid. All right, so what ends up happening, that's me, guys, by the way. So what ends up happening is... we have all these beautiful shots of the dishes that, Jeff creates. And we put that out on social media and you can really follow along. It's quasi interactive, really. And I don't know that any other, podcasters are doing anything of the sort. So we put a lot of effort into the quality of the dish. And by the way, it's not like where we're using chemicals or fake stuff. We eat this food. Like,
what did you just post recently that somebody commented on? It was your happiest what?
I gained 20 something pounds doing this. I'm up 25 pounds almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's a big whop.
I am a fat ass. Yeah. It's crazy. But it's the happiest weight gain ever. I can't. Well,
weight gain, sometimes weight gain is the happiest is when you have to lose the weight. That sucks.
It's unhappy. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'd even breathing heavy and everything. It's terrible. I don't know. Look what you did to me. Anyway.
No, I didn't put a gun to you to say eat that.
Son of a. So, anyhow, so we do this, we put it out there, and you guys can just really follow along. Chefs, foodies, food groupies, whatever you want to call yourselves. Listen, we're all on the same team. So, Jeff, the rice, I just want you to know that rice was great. And I think you can do more with the rice, in that how you put it together, how it was, bound together.
Right, the cake, the rice cake, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't think of rice cake like crunchy, crispy, crackly, like you're on a diet rice cake. It's like a potato cake or a pancake, but it was done with rice.
You know what that reminded me of?
The cocon?
No. So at the holidays when my grandmother would make rice, it's the part that gets stuck at the bottom.
Dominicans call it cocon. Oh, Yeah, it's so my ex-wife was Dominican. She called it cocon. Her father loved it. It's like really crispy, crunchy, crackly. Yeah. Yeah, that's the good stuff. My mom used to do something with like cheese and add it. So it was melted cheese and it was stretch. Oh, and that would caramelize. Holy Toledo.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, we need to try that.
Yeah. I mean, I like even when somebody did something recently and I forget what rice it was, but there was like chicken broth that they cooked it in somehow.
Was it congee? Or juk?
What do you call me? No, I don't know.
Sorry,
I don't know.
Chinese.
I ate it.
Yeah. Was it like a soupy kind of?
No.
Okay, so it wasn't like a porridge.
No. It was legit, like, you know, sticky rice, right? But it wasn't sticky white rice. It was it bound together well, but it was. I know that it was cooked because I asked. It was so good. It was cooked in. Huh? Was that Greg? No. This was at my friend's house. He's Filipino. So I don't know. I got to ask.
It's probably like a riff on the joke and the congee then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it was so, man, it was so good. I prefer pasta, right? But
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. But the rice, man, I would eat that every single day. It was that good.
You sound like my wife. She eats rice. She can eat rice every single day.
Well, she could pretty much eat, you know, anything and it fits into her, you know, background.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. 100% on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, jump into the other dish, go.
The pot, the 420. So the 420 was the dish we had on our menu back when I was in West Palm with the restaurant that I had. I don't like naming things, you know, straight up and, oh, it's a pot roast. I named it 420. It's a smoked short rib. It had a puree of celery root.
All these entendres going on.
Exactly. It had celery root. But
You're like the M&M version, chef version of M&M, yeah, with the double and triple entendres.
I have to.
Get it.
Got to be different.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to do like whole carrots. So I did carrot peels and ribbons and we rolled them up into like a beautiful flower or flowerette. And then instead of doing celery, we did celery root. And instead of mashed potatoes or, you know, whole potatoes, we did potato chips. So I played with the textures and the flavors and the colors. And, you know, coming in and doing these shots, what's important for me now as a chef is, especially for the photography, is how can I break up colors? How can I make John happy and also have some beautiful shots? And then, you know, we go and choose the plates and we had a green one today. And so we had English peas. I had to make sure the English peas were touching the white part and then they threw in the pomegranate because I wanted something red, but I don't also want to throw stuff in there that's not edible or that doesn't jive with the dish. The pomegranate would actually add the acidity, that tartness that you're looking for. Pro tip, anytime you have something fattening, you want to add some acid to it. Like we were talking about with Osambuco, gremolata. It's just basically flat leaf parsley chopped up nice with lemon zest, and then they throw that on top of the Osambuco, the floor shank or hand shank. And they do that because of one reason, really. And it really cleans the palate and it enhances the flavor from the fat. So it takes away from the fat. Instead of doing that with the oxtail, I wanted to do something differently. So I tried something with English cucumbers.
Dude, that was phenomenal because I was eating happily.
Yeah.
Happily eating exactly. Without the cucumber on it. And then once you're like, no, man, don't
forget make sure you go over there.
Use this. That it changed everything. Yeah. It made it even better. That was genius. Really great.
Thank you. Right. And that's the thing. Like you trial and error. It's something I've never done before. I wanted to see if it worked. Number one, number two, is the thinking going right? Am I still on point doing certain things? And that's the thing when you're experimenting, you can't just do it and think, oh, it's going
to
be done.
I kind of can't wait till you mess up. So I can tell you that you suck. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but we're going to get there.
It will happen.
We're going to get there.
Yeah. It will happen eventually. Yeah. I think the other thing too, that I have to look at is when we're doing stuff now is important for me with the book coming out. I want to make sure that everything is on point. So the next phase for the book is actually giving the recipes to people to try. Mm. And once they're able to make it, and if it's like worded properly, then if anybody could do it.
It would be easy for me because I would just be like, Jeff.
Just do it.
Can you cook this up, man.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I would be able to read that recipe like quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Wait until you have the tuna. So I do a riff on sushi tuna, so nigiri sushi. Mm-hmm. And instead of being the white rice that's soft and supple, I do one that's fried. So it's crunchy.
Yeah.
And then I do a spicy tuna that's chopped really nice and put that on top with some caviar on top of that with some scallions or some chives, and you pop it in your mouth. I didn't come up with this one. There was that sushi restaurant down in Hollywood that's in the not the Qatar Hotel, the other one. It's the old Summit of Hard Rock. There's a sushi restaurant in there. I think it's called Kuru.
I don't remember that.
Oh, my God. Dude, that dude came out. I remember that was one of my birthdays one year when I was working for the vendor, and there was 12 of us. We had 19 orders of this spicy tuna, crunchy tuna's app, and I think 5 or 6 of them were for dessert. We didn't even have, like, the traditional. That's how good that stuff was. And I kind of, like, morphed it into my own thing. In fact, when I worked for the Broadliner, instead of making it with a sticky rice, I would make it with Rice Krispie treats. But instead of making it being sweet, I added sriracha, farikake, and scallions. Farikake is a seasoning they put on sushi rice that's got kombu and seaweed in it to give it that nice flavor.
I've not had that.
Wait until you, that's what I'm saying. Wait until you have that tuna. By the way, if anybody wants to go ahead and donate the tuna, I'll take it. Not canned tuna.
I'm sure we
have. Sushi grade tuna. Oh, Mike Colantis. We can get it from him.
Yeah, Mikey. Hey.
I think we know somebody that can get some sushi in.
You know what? We got to get him over it and just kind of play around in the kitchen, you know?
You know who that would be? This is probably a good segue into something else that we need to talk about later on. And can't wait to have him there over in Midtown Tampa that we have to talk about today.
Why don't you break it? Go.
You mean about the party?
Yeah.
We should have had like a good, like, Night of the Roxbury.
Go ahead. Go, baby. Go.
So we are working very diligently. We actually just talked to somebody that works at a hotel in Midtown Tampa. We're looking at a date sometime in October, Monday specifically. It will be a service industry kind of bash for the chefs to kind of come out and hang out, cook, and have a great time. And we're going to bring some people from around the country in too. So, hey, if you're one of those who want to fly all the way down to Tampa to have a great time.
Yeah, I'm thinking between 50 and 100 people, right? We got a bunch of our friends over here who were into the foodie social media.
Well, you got Tampa Food Mom is number one. That's definitely.
Yeah, well,
there's a whole bunch.
There's a whole bunch.
Cookie-licious that you told me about. That would be nice to have her here.
Possibly. I think so. Yeah, she's in Orlando.
I'm just thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so it's going to be a big bash. A lot of photography, a lot of phones with, you know, taking pictures and everybody drinking and eating and have a great time. And the chefs are all going to be, you know, of the walk and talk family, you know, and maybe some that are on the way in, something like that. So I'm really excited about this, Brent.
Yeah, especially because moving it from the farm was a great idea because September is very sketchy as far as weather.
Yeah, because if we're going to bring people in, I want to get with Marvin and figure something out for season, you know, when the weather's cooler. We can't do it that it's going to be, you know, chef or food industry focused, you know, that we're going to have to open up to, you know, just kind of our food groupies and stuff. But yeah, I definitely want to get to the farm. I want to get to Marvin's place, but the weather's got to be there, man. I don't want to take a shot with the rain. And
you got to be December, January, February.
And nobody likes 2,000% humidity. I don't.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Walked out to the car to get the jacket, and I was dying.
Yeah.
95 degrees out today.
Yeah. You walk outside, you just want to quit life. Like, I'm done. Like,
just 71% humidity, 95 degrees.
Yeah, man.
Well, it's a wet heat. You never hear a Floridian say that. You always hear Arizona or Nevada. It's a dry heat. No, it's just hot.
It's hot. Yeah. Now, but this is a wafting hot where you can't breathe. you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I said before? I'm not going to say it because we're on air, but it's definitely the taint.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you should have just went with, you chose the wrong word to go.
Well, I don't, you know.
I mean,
I just do that for John.
Satan's taint is what it was. Which is funny as hell. But see how it did? All right. Anyhow, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. All right. So listen, what I'm trying to say here. Yeah, let's bring this. Let's come back. Let's bring it back in, guys. All right. Come in. Come in. John, poor John. Look at him. We got to start recording again. We got to start getting video. It's been a while.
That's definitely.
And it has to just be on John. Video on John only.
Well, what I said earlier, that was hysterical. I wish we had a camera on him then.
Yeah, no, we
can't. Was, God, that was funny.
Don't you?
I'm not.
Don't.
I'm not.
That's not nice.
You bring it in. Let's go. What are you going to say?
You brought it
no,
up.
No, we're going back to what you wanted to bring in.
I can't remember. Oh, the by party. The way, the party. So, yeah, the party. So it's going to be badass.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going to be there. Food galore. Cocktails. Everything. Beautiful venue. It's going to probably be a banquet room attached to a balcony. I mean, it's, you know, it's freaking nice.
It will be.
Yeah. So we're putting that together. That's going to be in October. It'll be a Monday. So chefs and food industry peeps, it's not going to interfere too much, you know. And if you have a day off, you know what? It's a great day to spend it with us. All right. I don't want to hear any crap. Just show up and enjoy yourself. All right. So sales. John, tell me about sales.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
I hate sales.
How come?
It's just not my thing, man.
I mean, he got nervous, just like he swallowed.
That's why.
Like that. Just well, to,
he's well. You said earlier you don't like people.
I resemble that.
and that's there's a lot of chefs out there that are like that too, though.
But here's the thing. Because, you know, I find myself saying sometimes like, man, I hate everybody. But then on the other side of it is I love everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's certain times when one episode of something, one happenstance, and you hate the entire society,
right?
You know, which is crazy.
You condemn the whole group everyone for the stupidity of that one person.
Correct.
Which is huge, just wrong by all accounts.
Yes. Right. So anyhow, sales. I'm trying to get John and some other people to that we talk to every day to kind of get into the idea that sales isn't like a 1972 car salesman with
cars.
Plaid pants and a bullhorn. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is more of a provider. You're a provider of something, whether that is a service or a product, and it's like, hey, I have this, and hey, do you need it? Yes, here's what it's here. Here's the value proposition. No, no problemo. Move on. You know what I'm saying? You know, we Jeffrey, Veronica, you and I, we went to a place yesterday, a very very prestigious golf club, and
I'm surprised they let me in.
Me too. I don't know.
Couldn't wear jeans. That's
your reputation did not perceive you. Thank you.
Thank God.
Anyhow, so that was a terrific call. Mm-hmm. You know, we brought Peninsula samples.
Yep.
And you know, chef cooked them up. His underlings, you know, cooked everything up. Did a great job. And it was not a high pressure situation.
Nope.
Not at it like 0.0% pressure. It was just, hey, chef. Here's what's good. Here's what you could use it for. And that's, and you, Jeffrey, you kind of lived in that moment. Obviously, you being a chef, you have, you've worked in this capacity before as a manufacturer's rep or, you know, in this case, meat specialist rep. Mm-hmm. And you did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So here's the thing.
Not me, them. Tell them, these people, the ones who are listening.
Right. Pro tip. I think, you know, as a chef, one of the biggest things I always said to people that were coming in, the salespeople that were, first of all, let me back up. As a chef in a kitchen, you have sales reps coming in. As much of a pain in the butt they are, they're still there to do their job. And let them come in. Don't be an idiot to them. Don't treat them like garbage. they're the ones that are getting you. And half the time, by the way, they used to be in your shoes cooking in the kitchen and they left for whatever reason they did. Don't put them down because they left the kitchen. That's the biggest thing that we could do as chefs in the kitchen today is to keep on doing that. It's, you got to stop this, this cycle of glorifying this, the crap that we go through. I think if you are a salesperson, you also have to read your audience. I remember when I was support for sales, we walked in, the owners were scrambling, the chef is scrambling, the whole team is scrambling as we walk in. And this one rep had no clue. He was just focused on trying to sell his, what his DSM, his district sales manager, wanted him to sell. And I grabbed him on the shoulder and pulled him around and said, hey, sorry, folks, obviously you're busy with a catering gig. We're going to leave. And then that was it. He goes, what'd you do? I said, dude, read your audience. That's not the right time. Because if you kept on talking, you were going to lose the account. You weren't even going to be there as the rep. So you have to read your audience, number one. Number two, don't go in there being the cocky one and saying, hey, this is what you can do, because chefs don't like that. Don't be that used car salesman. Right. Don't give us strong sales. We are going to be out. We're going to shut you down, call you out. I think the biggest compliment I was ever given before I got into that side, the meathead for the previous employer I had was Ron McTighe. The rep that I had, Sandra Lau, she was like, hey, I want to bring my meat specialist in. Could you mind? I'm like, well, I'm going to vendor property. There's only certain things I can do, but yeah, bring him in. Maybe he might have something for me. Set up the appointment, did everything we did. Guy walks in, turn around, about a year later, whatever it was, I got the job and we started working together and people were like, hey, you worked with him. How was he? And he's like, most professional guy I've ever been with. And I think that's what you need to do. When you set the legacy out for yourself and who you are as a chef, you have to treat people the way you want to be treated. And if you treat people like garbage, they're going to, you know, that's not the way to go. Because eventually karma is going to get you. And that's it.
Listen, when you're in the food distribution sector.
You're a pariah.
Well,
especially if you're a chef that you left, you're a pariah.
Well, here's the thing. If you make yourself useful in that you answer your phone and you make yourself available, you're going to be accepted immediately, because the problem that I've always had with salespeople, and this is my wheelhouse, is, you know, all of a sudden their phones, they can't find their phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got clients reaching out and in the crunch, and that salesperson would know this is the crunch moment and they refuse to engage. They don't answer the phone. Or reply to the text or whatever. And there's always going to be some silly excuse as to why. And that chef has to ride out, you know, that particular moment where it's, you know, high stress, critical point in time. Those sales reps don't do anything good. Like they're not bringing any value.
No.
And everyone knows, like, the reputation's usually poor. But man, I tell you what, you answer your damn phone at 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, or 5:30 in the morning, something like that. And you'll have a friend for the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, it goes,
no matter where they go,
right,
they'll bring you along.
Here's another pro tip. And we did this yesterday. When you walk into a kitchen, you better be saying hello to the dishwasher.
Oh God. Yeah.
You better be saying hello to every single cook that's on that line, because you know what? One day that cook might be running that damn, or even that dishwasher might be running that kitchen one day.
I don't know how it is in other states. I only know Florida and South Florida especially, but in Florida, you know, within weeks you can go from dish pit to running the thing. Like just like that.
Yep.
Which is amazing to me. But I mean, at the end of the day, you never know what the situations are with personnel.
The warm body.
Yes, indeed. So, and all of a sudden, the person that you walked by and paid no attention to, and it's noticeable.
They remember.
All of a sudden, you'll get no love from that new chef or kitchen manager or whatever.
And they wonder why they lost the account.
Uh-huh.
I think the other thing too, and if you own a company that's a vendor or a purveyor, you need to bring your drivers involved. And I'll give you a point. This past week, I went back into the gym and I'm working out, and there's a guy next to me. He's wearing a Cheney Brothers shirt. And
do you even lift, bro?
Yeah. Not much, but I still lift. Right. It's mostly bourbon and bacon and curls. That's
one
what
hand.
I do.
Yeah. You're double.
I get you. But Brian, I met Brian and I saw the shirt immediately. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? What do you do for Cheney Brothers? He's like, I'm a driver. like, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing here? You know, cause they're not usually on the road. He's like, oh, I'm on vacation. And your response was, who works out on their vacation? Obviously when you're driving, you do. But I did twofold. I wanted to make sure he got the podcast and we can talk about it. But here's the option now that most places that have drivers don't do. They don't feed them. They feed them food, but don't talk about the food if they feed them at all. They don't talk about the specials that might be going on. They don't give them spiffs because guess what? They see your clients more than your salespeople do.
Oh, yeah.
They could see them twice a week, if not more, depending on how many times they're going there.
Well, it depends on the you know, produce or meat or whatever. Produce, you're seeing them every day almost.
Could be.
Yeah.
100%. But there's a huge opportunity for companies that they're not even getting into. And by the way, that's free. I'm not going to charge you guys. Well, maybe I will eventually, but I'm not going to, that's one of those things that I think vendors and purveyors are not doing the right thing. They need to get their truck drivers involved in it so they can help with sales. Hey, I had this, you know, this short rib they cooked up. It was just unbelievable. You should really, here's some scratch on this on whatever. Here's the number on it.
Yeah. You know, the good and the bad of that is,
should I play that again?
So when you're talking about your drivers, when you have a good driver actually sticks their head in the door of the location next to their drop. Right. Yeah. So they'll poke their head in the door and say, hey, by the way, guys, you know, I'm over here. I come here a few times a week. I'd love to get one of my salespeople to come and check you out. Those are diamonds, those cats. But I'll tell you, and I in the position of hiring salespeople, I never wanted to take. I always wanted to give, you know, like to help help up and kind of, you know, bring somebody along and get them a better situation. But you don't really want to give up your good drivers either. They're so. It's so hard to get a good driver, you know. So you have to come up. You have to be creative. Right. So I would work out deals with the drivers where, mm-hmm. you know, if they were, if they would assist in a new account, then, you know, here's a bonus X amount, whatever,
heck yeah.
You know, but, I don't want to get them off the road.
Because no, and it's not talking about getting them off the road. It's talking about having that next level of service, you know, and that's the thing. At the end of the day in the food industry, we're not performing bearing surgery. We're serving food. And we're buying food. We're delivering food. Yeah, I get across the board, and all the drivers that drive for any vendor or purveyor who does large pallets. You know, the biggest thing is those damn selectors don't know how to put in the truck, and they select wrong, and I have to climb over this, and it's this never ending thing. Guess what? It's all over.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of the day is we all have to work in a community that when the driver's doing something like when I was up in Detroit. We had U.S. Foods dropped a 200 case order on our back dock. And by the way, the back dock was a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they drove off.
That was the thing that is one of my biggest pet peeves. Because, you know, when one of your chefs calls you to tell, and again, we're not living, this isn't, we don't live on the tundra, right? Where it's Florida and it's hot and, you know, wet. And there's animals everywhere of the human kind and of the animal kind. Man, let me tell you something. Hey, Carl, do you know that your driver left the whole order on the outside of my door? Like, are you kidding me? See, that to me, your card gets pulled. You're out. I don't even want you to. I don't even get into the truck. Leave it there and don't come back.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Well, and that goes about how we hire, whether you're hiring a cook or you're hiring a driver, your salesperson. It's all the questions you need to ask. I mean, listen, if you like them or don't like them, Chick-fil-A, I respect the crap out of them because they have the best customer service. Hands down, they don't say, you're welcome. They say, my pleasure. They look for kids that have extracurricular activity. They want to be in church or synagogue or whatever they're doing because it shows that they have responsibility.
It seems that they're happy people.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem like you walk into one, they don't like hum glum and, oh, I hate myself. They want to do it because it's not a fast food job. It could be a career. If they work themselves up to getting their own store, that's a lot of money in their pocket.
Sure.
I mean, think about the buy-in if people in restaurateurs treated their people better and did it this way, like that way, overstaffing because they wanted to make sure their guests were taken within that, whatever their SOP is. I don't know what their SOPs are for how long and how many minutes a burger will take or a chicken will take to get out there and the fries or the smoothie or shake or whatever. They have all that written down. They got that. They live it, breathe it. That's what we need to do in the other half of the restaurant industry. And especially for sales, man, if you guys mess up, just admit it.
Oh, eat it.
Or eat it. Or both.
I'm saying eat it.
Yeah.
Just take the responsibility.
Yeah. You get caught with your pants down. We call it speeding when you jack up your prices too much. First of all, be in line.
You know, sometimes that's actually a great topic because oftentimes price changes don't come from the rep.
Right. Nope.
A lot of that is automated anyhow, right? So unless there's some sort of a physical override on that item for that particular customer, you know, it's going to fluctuate based on whatever the percentile is.
Yeah. So I'm smiling because one of my reps just friended me on LinkedIn. He's now a purchasing agent for a country club. And he used to be my rep when I was in the actual restaurant industry. And he used to call me, my nickname was the bastard. Because
it's funny, we call you that too,
right?
It travels
because I was the one like chef yesterday. I never had one vendor. I had three.
Uh-huh.
I kept everyone in line and I would always go, I want the Jeff price. And I'd look over the shoulder and see their calm price, that bottom calm one. What's that? That's the price I want because I didn't feel like I wasn't trying to be
So if you're
Yeah, I'm that dude.
You can't, well, it's okay to be that guy if you have the volume to back it up.
Oh, I did.
Right?
I did.
It's the low volume folks that ask for it. You know, you walk away. You got to walk away.
Oh, my favorite is like, well, I can go to Restaurant Depot and get it for this price. Go, but you're not managing.
Man, I learned that young in my career. I was always looking to try to flip those. You know, guys and gals, you know, that would go to Depot or a box store to shop. Oh my God. Biggest waste of time in your life. And even if they do buy from you, it's not worth it. Those are the slow pays, the no pays. Oh, they're so difficult to work with. And that makes such a big difference. So when you are high volume, low, whatever volume of an account you are, if you're a slow payer, you make everybody's life difficult. And, you know, there are valid reasons for a slow pay. It happens. You know what I mean? But if it's a habitual sort of a thing, you're not going to get the fullest potential of service. You're just not on pricings, especially because, you know, we're the bank, you know, and it's not a healthy, it's not healthy. And then when you want the extra service, hey, you know, I made a mistake. Can you bring me this or that? Or it's after a cutoff, or it's, you know, the truck's already gone. I need another truck or a bailout or something. How can you ask that?
Right.
How's that possible? You know, but on the same token, it's give and take because when the house makes a mistake, when that distributor makes a mistake, you better fix it. You got to eat it. And if that means, you know, work until 6 o'clock on a Friday night or 7 o'clock on a Friday night, cause you're doing a bailout somewhere, then you do it.
Yeah, that's another misnomer we didn't even talk about with sales. A lot of chefs, people in the restaurant industry, think the salespeople work 5 days a week, and they don't. They work six.
Or
hands
seven.
Down, or seven.
Yeah.
Hands down, and they don't work. I mean, when I worked for my broadliner, I work from in the car from like 7 something until 5 o'clock in the afternoon when I got home, and my daughter went to bed at 8. I then had to do all my paperwork, you know, inputting all the stuff I did in the computer. And that could take you up until about 11, 12 o'clock at night, depending on how many people you saw.
True. And, you know, one thing that gets missed, glazed over, I should say. When let's just say
what kind of glaze, honey, bourbon,
always a bourbon. Let's just say that you're a 6 day operation, right? And your sales guy might get off on a Sunday, right? But not really, because people are calling.
He's got to do orders,
yeah,
or right. She has to do orders.
Well, let's just say the chef, as many hours as they work, they get a day off. They get a day off, and what ends up happening is. The sous chef or the underling or whoever is in charge of ordering, they take over the ordering. So ultimately, the sales rep is responsible every day for an order for that property, for that establishment. And nobody realizes that you're connected to the phone now these days. Like, you know, in the old days, I mean, because I started when, you know, maybe Nextels were, I was getting into sales when there were still Nextels. Right,
you might want to explain Nextels. We do have
it's like a walkie-talkie cell phone. It was really cool. It was actually pretty cool. Yeah, actually, it was a funny story. So
I have a funny story about the Nextel.
Remember what's his name? The comedian. He went to Africa. He like quit comedy.
Oh, it's Dave Chappelle.
Right, I couldn't think of his name. So he just come out and he had that Rick James. I'm Rick James, bitch. You know, like so. One of the guys I worked with, we were just a couple of sales guys, you know, and we had these Nextels, and we did this thing where middle of the day we would just because you just hit the button and you break into whatever's happening,
and if it was loud, everyone in the restaurant heard you,
right? So we had this thing going where we'd just break in with crazy stuff like that, and I hit him one day when he was with a chef, he was holding cases, and I broke into some Dave Chappelle, and it was.
Epic.
It was great. Yeah, whatever.
All so right. I worked at a place called in Boca called Stir Crazy Cafe, and we had just put a stock down on the
floor. I remember that place.
Yeah, we had just put a stock down somewhere. I couldn't remember. It wasn't on the floor. It was going to be 6 inches above the floor. And I was walking over, and I clipped my phone, but I didn't clip it all the way because the i3C or whatever what it was called at that point. And all of a sudden, the next thing I heard was bloop. I looked and went, oh, just bought the phone.
What happened? Where'd it go?
I went right into the stock.
Oh, no.
Gone. Brand new phone. I had no phone. Yeah, that was fantastic.
That's not nearly as funny as my story, but...
It's still a great story of having to go right into the...
That's a great story.
Hot stock.
You knew. Boiling. You know that it's funny because it's great. It's like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're going to do the Mickey Mouse next.
No, I'm not going to do it. Oh, all right. Yeah, it's funny. Actually, so I was with a couple of weeks ago, I was... with the family, a couple of friends with other kids. It was like 6 kids, right? And I went into the whole Mickey Mouse clubhouse thing, and it was, I'm a hit. I am a hit.
You know what? Maybe he should do that voice as the MC for the party, John. Yep, I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean, like to...
I'll talk to JR, too, and make sure he knows.
Yeah?
Oh, all right, you party people, huh?
You know, like exactly, something like that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody get on the dance floor.
In fact, if you guys listen to this, please comment you want Carl to do that. If we get enough people to respond.
I'm doing it now. I'm ready to
No, be the MC that whole night.
No, I don't want that responsibility. That's too much. That's absolutely
I can get
much.
Chef Jay-Z down from North Carolina. He can be the MC. He loves MC. Or Rocco Paradiso from Sarasota.
With a name like that, you got to be a DJ.
You know what? He does have a DJ voice. He was the voice of the ACF for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I just saw him in New Orleans. Great guy.
New Orleans?
Yeah, in New Orleans.
That's how you usually say it.
Yeah, New Orleans. Yeah, what's going on with Foodie Patootie?
Oh, Foodie Patootie. We talked about
him. He's got to be coming for that,
He
too.
Did a deal with his
Cheese-wheeze?
Yeah, with Juvenile.
Oh.
Remember the rapper?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a deal with Juvenile regarding... The chips and all the stuff from
that's awesome.
Yeah,
good for him.
Congratulations, brother.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, it's so anyhow,
Pooch, you have no idea what you're involved for.
get me on a track. That's all I'm saying. Get me on a track. No, but yeah. So he's got that thing going. He's he Okay, so we want him here.
Yeah, he's just a cool dude.
He wants to come here.
Yeah,
and we're gonna do some cool stuff together. We just gotta coordinate some things. We gotta get on.
Well, we gotta get his Manesh Shah to come with him too, because Manesh Shah out of Tava, that dude is just incredible. His food, the flavor profile. I would love to have those two.
We're getting a lot of cool things happening here. People from all over the country, chefs, and some PR firms and everything are reaching out with their clients, chef clients, and they want to do some stuff. It's really cool. We're in a great spot.
Right yeah, now. Definitely are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it because it's so different. I mean, we do listen to other podcasts. I'm not going to, there's good podcasts out there.
We were judging yesterday in the car.
I was not trying to say that, bro, but okay.
No, we were. We were just, yeah. We listened to like top, a few of the
top three,
top
four.
Don't narrow it down
six,
like that.
Ten.
Yeah, top 10. And
one.
So what we came to realize is their content was pretty tight, but the delivery was, a lot of people in the podcast realm, for some reason.
Go ahead, say it. AI.
Everybody sounds like they're
robotic.
Or just this like monotone voice that I just say it in one way and here I am talking about it. And yes, it's really cool.
Like Agnes from Gru and the Minions.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Their content is like
spectacular.
And they're putting in efforts on having all the data I'm looking at John. Yeah. I'm totally staring at John. John's like, anyhow. No, that's actually a lot of that's on me. But the truth is, we're like a radio show more than a podcast show.
We're two guys that have good energy together, that we talk about the love and the passion for what we have, which happens to just be food.
And John can corral that to make sure.
Well,
that
he takes the beautiful shots, and then he's like, HR.
He keeps us.
Which doesn't work.
John is HR, dude. That's the best thing you've ever said.
No, before what I said in the kitchen.
Well, that was different. Shush, stop it.
I love him just shaking his head.
HR. Can I speak to somebody in HR, please?
Just John. What do you do now?
Oh, my goodness. He does his best to keep this PG-13.
And then there's you.
And then there's me. Actually, it's more you than me.
No. I said taint, but you cuss more.
I don't cuss. I haven't cussed in a long time. And me saying like, badass or something, that does not count. It's been
better. He has.
I want you to go back and you find where I dropped a bomb of any sort.
No, I want the listeners to do that. I don't want to do that.
I want somebody to do that.
I guarantee you, I know a couple people that will do that. That would be, all the different cuss words. That would be long.
I'll tell you what. What? Watching you laugh is funny. What is that?
I said it would be really long.
No, it would not. That's what she said. So look here, but that's not a cuss.
But that was HR looking at me and then did it to you.
here's what I propose. Some lucky person, listener, someone in the audience, you're going to cook for him.
What?
Yeah. If they put that montage together, they need to find when I dropped a bomb last, and it isn't going to be like,
Bomb are we talking about?
It's got to be a curse. I haven't cursed or cussed or whatever. And depending on where you're
from, but you have levels of cursing, because you guys called me out for cursing and I was like, well, that's not really cursing because I don't do that.
What are you talking about?
GD.
That's a curse.
That's not actually a curse for me.
Oh my gosh.
Well, for you guys, not for me though.
Not that. That's
is like, hell a curse word?
No, but the GD is bad.
Not for me.
Oh goodness. It's this
one of the worst. Ugh.
For you.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Okay. So there's okay. I'm doing it like this. There's nothing that I have said. There's not a word that I have said in the past 3 months. I'm going to say 3 months, because what are we in? We're in August now, right?
August. Yeah.
I haven't dropped a bomb in at least 3 months. I challenge anyone to find that. I challenge you. And
I'm not cooking for that person because it's your challenge. You need to do something. No.
I'm not going to cook. You got
to. I don't want you to cook for them. Get them a steak.
HR just said
get them a steak. Get him a tomahawk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
No. Put your money where your mouth is. Because if you think you haven't cussed in 3 months.
You're going to cook it, though.
No.
What do you mean?
Why do I get punished? Because you cussed.
Because you're usually the one that gets out of me.
No. You're blaming me for you cussing? I need a lawyer here.
That's John.
No, he's HR.
He's close to it.
No, his wife would be the closest thing to that. Actually, mine would be the closest thing to that. Yeah, there
that's
we go.
Not fun.
HR just said they can cook it themselves.
That's so boring.
I'd be happy with a
tomahawk.
I mean, all right, whatever.
I think the wheels on the bus just fell right off.
That's fine. Listen, so if anybody out there can find where I have, in fact,
three letter or four letter word.
No, not three. Ass doesn't count, dude. Sorry.
Nope.
No.
Well, then crap. Then I'm going to keep on saying ass then.
Yeah, but you got to say, like, I don't put, I usually use it in the context of badass. I mean, like, come on, dude. Give me a break.
Well, how about hole?
No, I never say that.
No, I understand that, but that and hole put together, that's a bad word, right?
That would be a bad word.
I'm clarifying.
Yeah.
Shut the front door, not the front, but that would be a bad word, right?
Any, the front door, the back door, whatever. Yeah, it's all no good.
Okay.
It's no bueno.
The female dog, no bueno.
It depends on the context. You know, like if I were like, oh man, did you see that that Camaro IROC, you know, whatever, that's bitching or something like that. Come on, get it.
Bitching.
Yeah.
You went there.
Yeah.
Wow. You're just making me feel all sorts of old.
You are all sorts of old.
You HR?
Is that what did we call that?
Gender age discrimination, age, not right? Gender discrimination.
No, because you're here. It's not like you're, you know. All right, let's
wisdom whiskers.
Let's, yeah.
As I stroke my beard, wisdom whiskers. But you know what? Thanks for getting the short ribs and the oxtail. It was a lot of fun today.
It was a lot of
it
fun.
It really was. You know what? I'm finally, guys, I've been talking about that Cuban. Finally, you guys were able to taste it.
I like it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Different.
Wait till you see the pictures.
Yeah.
Photography.
Monster.
Ibis images. And you can do like a .com on that. All right. Stay tuned for what's coming in October.
October is going to be a huge bash for everybody going back to, you know, the season.
And yeah, boy. And hey, listen, people, if you find out where I've dropped some bombs, let's do it. I'll get you tomahawk. All right. It'll be a Creekstone. Beautiful. Cut like butter. Like butter. All right. We are Outski. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving.
your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.